Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckles Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by whatever the fuck we want. We are running our own shit these days, but check out 319 Wine and Cheese in Tallahassee, Florida. You got the best wine, the best cheese, the best women, the best alcohol, the best music, everything you want. And, of course, me, Ryan Edwards. Yes, my real name is the Bloody Knuckles Show himself. In flesh, the best of the man in Tallahassee. Plus, check out Warrior-Fit on Instagram. Live a healthy life. God damn it, people, get out there. We all want to live long. Just looking at the world these days. And you look at Kimbo Slice dying at 42. People do it right and just live life. I think that's what we all learned this week. But on a lighter note, goddamn, we are back and we are here to give the people what they want. Yes, I am with my boy, the yin to the yang, the motherfucking Shaquille O'Neal to my Kobe Bryant. He is the man that told LeBron James, you got to get Kevin Love out of that lineup. He is the man that has not only two CDs, but two hit CDs here in Tallahassee, Florida, under the name Percy Love. Never took a dollar for it. He did it for the people. He has a hit song with T-Pain. He actually told T-Pain, stop rapping. You should try to sing a little bit, brother. He's the man who told Vitor Belfort to start drinking those TRT smoothies. He's the man who told Will Smith to get in the movies. He's the man that told Bruce Willis in Die Hard, you should use some Uzis. He is the dude that don't give a fuck. Middle fingers up. He is Mr. Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? I'm very happy to be back again. And I did like that Bruce Willis line. I had not heard that one before. So kudos on that creativity. I did enjoy it. But excited, folks. Yeah, and you know, to the regular listeners out there, you know, a little Thursday surprise. You know, we did have to switch it up this week. Because
I did
your boy
last night. I did like half the show. I'm sorry to cut you off, but you know, there was too much loudness, too much craziness. I'm in Florida State territory. Sorry folks for that show last night. I deleted it. It was a little bit too much craziness. But I'm sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
Yes, so as I was saying, so your boy is going out of town this weekend, so sadly I do not know if I'm going to be able to make the Friday night special or this Saturday. I'm going in Cleveland. Very excited. Haven't seen my mom since September. She's coming up to the Rock, and I'm also very excited to not have to go to work tomorrow, but I do have like a 5-hour car ride. It sucks when you get older because you're the one who has to drive, and the days of me just sitting in my passenger seat and putting in my earbuds are over. I guess it's just part of being an adult. But, yeah, I can only imagine Ryan, you know, trying to do a late night special show, walking around the Dokes. I mean, I myself a couple times on our late Friday night show, Saturday night show, it's hard to be walking around broadcasting a bunch of drunk kids walking back from the bars and whatnot.
Not only that, but, you know, for the next week I have a roommate who is in college, and she has her significant other, you know, her little college fling staying with her until she moves just for like 2 days. And I guess it was her birthday, so I had them coming in and out. I was actually doing the podcast while they walked up. It was pure craziness. I probably looked like a crazy guy because, you know, I didn't have a co-host. So I was just talking NBA trades and stuff that could happen. where I wanted free agents to go. I really concentrated on NBA, and you know me, I like to dive into my hypothetical NBA talk. I'm getting a little backlash on your side, brother. But, yeah, I just want to have a big apology to the fans. I did delete it pretty quick, so hopefully not a lot of people listen. It was the worst Slayton at the Show episode ever. Started off on a strong point, but, you know, I did hit it off really strong, but then there was just too chaoticness and actually hung up in the middle of it just to get out. I had to abandon it. I had to jump out of the plane, you know, like there's only one, you know, you have three people on a plane. It's going down. We're going down together, guys. And all of a sudden, you see me in the back. I got the only parachute with my thumbs up. These guys.
Total shady stuff.
But, Andrew, thinking about breaking it down into rounds tonight because we have, but we do like
a lot of stuff to talk about.
We should
throw it out there, though. Like, it's probably the most shocking news I've gotten in MMA in a while, Ryan. You know, very sad and devastating. You know, I don't want to say he was the same level of Ali, but, you know,
he did captivate
the nation, though. He captivated the whole nation. And Ryan, Kimbo Slice, he died at the age of 42. So one thing I want to say, something I was thinking about, you know, I think when you see a case like this, so heartbreaking and sad, these are why all those drugs are illegal. You know what I mean? This is why they're not in the game, why we shouldn't be taking them. Massive heart failure at age 42. It's just heartbreaking, devastating news.
And the thing is, you know, anyone out there, if you watch the documentary Bigger, Stronger, Faster, it's a must-watch. Steroids are actually in the hospital on the list of stuff that people come in and OD to. Steroids are behind Advil or something like that. That's how, you know, low they are. But they do have an effect on your body, obviously. I think Kimbo, there might have been more behind the scenes. I think he might have had heart trouble. You know, it might have been years of abuse, but I also
think it might have been,
you know, he was in the porn industry. I don't want to get on the guys, you know, get on him too much while he's dead, but, you know, he's from Miami. There could have been cocaine involved. You know, we all know Kimbo was a partier, but let's concentrate. I don't think it was all steroids, but, yeah, it's true. He might have had a wrong back, something like that. And I just want to take this moment to say to all you MMA motherfuckers that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, got on your high horse and Ariel Helwani got banned, and I got on my high horse because I thought that was bullshit. But all you MMA writers that talk so much shit about Kimbo and called him a joke, this is a guy that broke records, and it was clear that I think one thing, Andrew, is real quick before we move on, because we have to, you know, it was clear in that fight with Dada, there was something wrong with Kimbo's heart. And Texas really should be investigated, their commission, because Dada had a fucking heart attack in that fight. And it was clear that Kimbo gassed out in a minute. There was something wrong with his heart in that fight. And, you know, it's just very sad to see him go. And I'm going to remember him for all the entertaining moments. And I really think it's a huge loss for the MMA world. I mean, such a huge card. I mean, I hate to say this, but a huge card for Bellator down the drain. Josh Koscheck, I just got to say this. Kimbo Slice was a warrior. He was always ready to fight. And a guy like Josh Koscheck, who was on that card, once again drops out and ducks Paul Daly, shows you who the guys who aren't warriors out there in the MMA world are. But that card got destroyed for Bellator. But, you know, RIP Kimbo. Thank you for all the moments, Andrew. For Kimbo and Muhammad Ali, who we have yet to pay tribute to and we will soon in the future, let's have a quick moment of silence. All right.
Just real quick before we conclude the Kimbo talk, just one last thing I wanted to ask. You know, of course, folks who read the reports and saw, you know, he didn't show a history, you know, of drug abuse. Remember, he did fail his post fight with Dada. He did fail, you know, for PEDs. But you know, he did fail for PEDs, so that's what I was getting at. You know, that's why you got to be smart at what you're taking, you know, especially at that late age in your life when you're not a young stallion like you used to be. But Ryan, real quick, one defining moment from Kimbo Slice's career. For me, it had to be the debauchery of him fighting James Thompson, and popping his filled up bloody ear. To this day, probably the craziest thing I've ever seen in an MMA event, when he popped his ear, and I always remember the look that ref gave, like, what the fuck? When his ear exploded. One, what memory for Kimbo, I guess, for you about Kimbo sticks out the most for you?
Obviously, him getting knocked out, that's always going to stick out. It was one of the most
shocking moments. The pink hair guy, yeah, that was pretty crazy.
By Seth,
let's do a positive one.
But a positive one, I'm going to say knocking out Tank Abbott. You know, it was old school brawler versus the new school brawler. It was Kimbo at the height of his power. You hit probably the best, you know, when he broke the record on CBS. And this is a guy that broke the record on national television before, I think, the UFC on Fox, with that Kane fight. But, yeah, I have to say that. And also how he came off on The Ultimate Fighter. He's such a good guy. I just think he's a genuinely good guy. R.I.P. Kimbo, we all are going to miss you, and R.I.P. Muhammad Ali. Andrew, to move on from this, I got to start it with this. I know we're going to talk this thing tonight. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about. But I want to start the show with the news that Brock Lesnar is not only back, like we touched on, but he has an official opponent, Mark Hunt. I'm not going to lie, I wanted to see, first off, there's a lot of ways to look at this. Some people are saying this is a one-off fight. Also, Brock Lesnar got a steroid exemption. I've never heard of this in my life. How did that happen? We'll touch on that in this conversation. But he is fighting Mark Hunt, and Mark Hunt, I mean, you got to be thinking, how is that fair that a guy gets to take steroids? But he is back. He's the moneymaker. Supposedly it's a one-off fight. I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping maybe we get to see more Brock. We'll touch on that. And basically all things Brock Lesnar to start the show, what do you think first about the opponent choice? I was hoping for third Frank Mir fight, if this wasn't a one-off fight, just to finally set that beef. I know Frank Mir's kind of been on the downslide.
to say the least. More like a free-for-all.
I feel like Mark Hunt is going to be the best MMA. Yeah, definitely a free-for-all.
He's one of the people you left in that plane.
I would have loved to see the trash talk between those two. I also would have loved to see Josh Barnett just because of the trouble he would have made. But, you know, Mark Hunt brings just that knockout power. Do you like this matchup? Who do you think has the advantage coming into this matchup? What's your early prediction? And also, if you could have chose somebody else, who would it be, and do you think this was the right choice?
Starting up now, I do get the matchup, because I remember a lot of the other heavyweights are already booked for fights, you know, so the pickings were slim. I think JDS is available, but you don't want to have Brock fight him right away. You know, so I like it. You know, two big guys, two powerful guys, two heavy punchers. You know, you got to think Brock's only chance is to come in and, you know, take him down and ground and pound. You know, but if Mark Hunt can display some good takedown defense and whatnot, you know, Brock at the end of his, you know, UFC stint, you know, really showed that, you know, believe it or not, you know, had holes in his games, especially in his stand-up. So, you know, it's a tough fight. But, honestly, Ryan, like, any of these fighters, maybe besides Frank Mir, like, that's the only guy right now I could see Brock, like, running through is probably Frank Mir, just because Frank Mir looks really bad. He's out of shape. He just and he failed for steroids after his last fight when he looked terrible. So, you know, I do like the matchup. It's a very entertaining matchup, and I feel like you need to get someone in there against Brock, another big, powerful body that's going to be swinging. And also, this is kind of a winnable matchup for Brock as far as the wrestling department goes. You know, Mark Hunt doesn't have the greatest takedown defense in the world, so...
But he struggles against stand-up fighters and kind of the worst stand-up fighter you could go against.
Yeah, that is very true. That is very true. So, I mean, I love it. They didn't give him the toughest fighter. They gave him a good fighter. But, I mean, no matter, regardless who you're going to fight, especially the UFC, the heavyweight division, you're going to have a challenge in front of you. Who has the advantage right off the bat? I mean, it's got to be Mark Hunt. I mean, Brock hasn't fought in years. You know, a real MMA fight. However, after the steroid exemption, Ryan, I don't know who has the advantage. And, you know, that kind of is crazy. It shows you, like, it just shows you his money. Brock brings in too much money. And truly, the WWE was probably juicing him up, having him juice. But I really think it comes down to the amount of money that Brock can bring in. And it was
but
pretty Conor good
McGregor
timing.
Conor McGregor can't miss a press conference, but Brock Lesnar can take steroids.
Yeah, it's all sorts of fucked up. I'm not condoning it. I just think, like, that kind of shows you how...
I still want to see it.
Exactly, man. I don't care. I mean, Brock being back, we got to really tip our caps, you know, to the UFC Bellator. Like,
what
it's been a while since UFC was able to pull someone in. And they capitalized on Brock a while after they made a run at him, you know, and he turned him down for the WWE. But now, you know, WWE's trying to get Ronda for, you know, for an event now. It's kind of funny. Maybe Dana did a little side. Yeah, Paige too. So maybe they did like a little side backdoor type of deal. And honestly, it would be smart for the UFC to have Paige VanZant, Ronda, maybe some of their other fighters go on the WWE to help, you know, build their star power and whatnot. Ronda might not need it as much, and after Dancing with the Stars, Paige might not need it as much. But, oh, no, there's a lot of angles to this, Ryan. But all in all, early prediction, I'm going to have to go with Mark Hunt. I mean, this guy recently fought for the belt. He's been a rejuvenated fighter. He's been knocking people out. But, you know, anytime you're going through a behemoth like Brock, there's a lot of question marks. Now, Ryan, we have not seen Brock fight in a while. You know, and we also have to tip our caps to Brock, the fact that, you know, this guy almost died a few years ago. And, you know, he worked his way back. So, Ryan, looking at this from Brock's standpoint, kind of what are you expecting from him? You know, is it good or is it bad? And, you know, what do you think he has to do to get a second fight that people are going to at least pay attention to for him to be respected, I guess, in the game? So, what are you expecting for Brock? What are you seeing from him? What does he need to get this done? And, you know, is there any way you could see this fight kind of being the jump start to him rejuvenating his mixed martial arts career?
Oh, this is 100%. Brock Lesnar is now the Conor McGregor. I mean, he always has been of the heavyweight division. You know, like, no matter what happens, I mean, if he gets nasty and knocked out, found one. It still doesn't matter. This guy is going to sell no matter what. He has that Kimbo Spice RIP. He has that Conor McGregor effect on the let me know if you hear echo at all. Just
okay.
But he has that effect to where no matter if he wins this fight, if he decides, because I did hear it's a one-off fight, it's just going to be a one fight. But if he absolutely destroys Mark Hunt, the sky is the limit. I mean, then you're talking about Brock Lesnar, you know, potentially trying to make a run back at that UFC heavyweight title because he has to have the confidence. This is a guy that, you know, already he doesn't need he doesn't need a victory. He already has all the hype in the world behind him. You know, he's already on SportsCenter. Look how Twitter blew up when they find out Brock is on the card. The UFC banned Ariel Helwani for breaking the news. That's how big it was. You know, they lifted the ban, obviously. That's a different story for a different day. But he was already on SportsCenter. Brock's already talking about how those last losses were not him fighting his opponent. It was him fighting the sickness. And who knows? That could be real. He could have really been that sick. This could be a whole different animal. And the guy's juiced to the gills. So, I mean, I don't think you can keep doing the whole steroid exemption. But this guy might have just made UFC 200 a $2 million buy. He might have made this the biggest pay-per-view ever with his comeback. That's how big Brock Lesnar is. Now, what Brock Lesnar needs to do, Pat Barry said it perfectly, Mr. HD. He said when, because Pat Barry used to get brought in as one of Brock's sparring partners, and Brock Lesnar always has his own camp. Which is good and bad. Some fighters do it, some fighters don't. Where you bring all different coaches in, and basically you have your own camp. And Pat Barry actually lit him up one day. And we all know Brock's, you know, he doesn't like getting punched. Coach actually stopped the fight or the sparring match and said, Pat Barry, you can't hit Brock. You can't hit Brock. That's the problem right there. If Brock Lesnar truly wants to be, you know, a UFC heavyweight champion or somebody who needs to be taken serious in the division, and let's not forget, this is a guy in his third fight that won the heavyweight championship. So he is a legit MMA fighter. We're not talking about a freak show. Brock Lesnar is absolutely a great MMA fighter. He's an animal. He's 265 pounds, an athletic freak. But if he truly wants to be one of the best, I think he needs to, if he could somehow get out of the WWE, he needs to join a camp like a Jackson's or, you know, where GSP trains or, you know, bring in one of the best trainers in the world to work with him. He has the money. Go spend a month with Freddie Roach and work on your boxing. He needs to basically get out of his little bubble in Minnesota that he trains at and basically work with the best trainers in the world. Go to Thailand for a month and work on your Muay Thai. I think that he needs to stop being one-dimensional. Now, Andrew, with the fight in particular, what I'm expecting, I've never seen a fight that it's going to be decided basically in the first 20 seconds. Brock Lesnar sprint across that octagon, and he is going to hit Mark Hunt with the hardest double leg that we've probably ever seen, pretty much Chael Sonnen style. He is going to try to drive Mark Hunt across that octagon. And if Brock Lesnar gets Mark Hunt down and Mark Hunt is able to get up or if Mark Hunt's able to sprawl and stop that first takedown, I think we all know that it's going to be a short night for Brock Lesnar and he's not going to be able to take the punishment that Mark Hunt's going to deliver. And what is Brock Lesnar's gas tank going to be like? But if Brock Lesnar is able to get Mark Hunt down and start delivering that ground and pound, and Mark Hunt, which is a guy who is accessible to takedowns, cannot get up, or if Brock Lesnar shows that he's kind of developed a little bit more of a stand-up game and he could keep Mark Hunt down and hit him a few times on the feet and avoid punches, all of a sudden the fight changes. I'm actually starting to think that Brock Lesnar might be able to take Mark Hunt in this fight. I think he, with the size, the steroid exemption, I think that he might be able to get Mark Hunt down and deliver that. I mean, this is a guy who beat Shane Carwin in his prime. Let's not forget, one of the better heavyweights of all time. Beat Randy Couture. This is, you know, Frank Mir, and Frank Mir was great. This is not a guy to be taken lightly, but we'll see if he could take Mark Hunt's stand-up. I just think this fight's going to be decided in the first 20 seconds, and I think Mark Hunt is very motivated. I think every heavyweight wanted this matchup, and it's definitely going to happen. But I would have loved to see, like, a Roy Nelson or a Josh Barnett, a guy that would have, you know, talked trash and kind of had a little bit of jiu-jitsu to bring to the table. But it is going to be pretty inside the octagon. It's just going to be pure chaos, and I think it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch. And I think this makes UFC 200 definitely a must-watch.
Oh, yeah. The addition to Brock on this card really makes this one of the best cards I've seen in a while, and I cannot wait for it. And, Ryan, I do have a lot of a similar in agreements with it. And the only thing I hope with Brock is I hope this wasn't a one-done, you know, take the money and run. Hopefully it can turn into something else. But, you know, however it is, UFC 200, and I got to give it to Dana. His ace up the sleeve. He lost Connor, replaced it with John Jones, and then, you know, pulled Brock on the card. Just another great guy. And then just to keep it moving, though, Ryan, because we do have a lot of things to touch on, then it was released. Before we talk about, you know, because we got cut up short the last show before we really got to say, you know, what's next for Bisping? What's next for Rod Cold and the ramifications of that fight? On the same day, Ryan, it was released. They got the deal done. Suddenly that Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor talk is dead. And it's official.
Yeah.
We're getting the rematch. UFC 202, Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor. Probably one of the biggest rematches in MMA history. This fight is huge. Really, I feel like this fight is more important for Conor. I mean, Nate, he already came out and beat him once. No one's really expecting Nate
Nate's
to keep playing,
really,
you know what I mean?
To do anything else in his
no,
career.
Nate, he's going to get his money in peace. I mean, who knows? Nate, two big paydays. He might finally be able to walk away from the sport with a lot of cash in his pocket and a hell of a name created for himself. Now, Ryan, so going into this fight, first thing, you know, looking at from McGregor's side, what are some things he needs to focus on training and what to make him more ready that maybe he didn't focus on the first time, but what are some things he needs to work on to be able to come in there and get the victory against Nate Diaz?
Oh, it's clear as day. The last time we saw Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz fight, Conor McGregor was eating too unhealthy. I saw it on UFC Embedded. Oh, I can eat, blah, blah, blah. He was eating nasty breakfasts, like two of them at a time. All he was really doing anytime it showed him training was basically, you know, his little fitness training, as Nate Diaz called it, playing grab ass in the park. Obviously, we were all hyped up on that movement and what Conor McGregor did in his training, but that's not what he needs to be concentrating on when he's going against a beast like Nate Diaz. He really needs to take this time, and I think it was a strategic masterpiece by Conor McGregor to have this fight pushed back, because he needs to find the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world, the best wrestlers in the world. And Conor McGregor also said that he has hired a full-time nutritionist, because he needs to have a gas tank where he has the power in the first round that he had, that we all saw him with Nate Diaz with, and use that power in the fifth round. And we all saw him training in L.A. in his boxing. He needs to train on his boxing. Basically, like Nate Diaz said, Conor McGregor is a blue belt in MMA, and Nate Diaz is a black belt. Conor McGregor, I would say the number one thing is jiu-jitsu. He has to – he already got his blue belt, but he needs to keep working, and he can't just keep working in that bubble in Ireland with his teammates. They're just not as good enough guys, because in Nate Diaz's camp, you have Jake Shields, you have Frone Gracie, the best jiu-jitsu guy on the planet. You have Nick Diaz, you have the best kickboxing American, and Joe Schilling. Nate Diaz has a killer camp. Conor McGregor needs to bring in killers, just like GSP did when he used to bring in the Canadian Wrestling Olympic team to help him train. Conor McGregor needs to be bringing in guys that are going to continuously make him better. And kind of like Fedor, he is doing it now. Fedor used to go to Amsterdam to train his kickboxing. We see Conor going to L.A. to work on his boxing. But truly the number one thing is his jiu-jitsu and his nutrition and his cardio, because Conor McGregor was whipping Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is not going to shoot it on a double leg. The key is, you know, I don't think he's going to knock Nate Diaz out. So he has to be able to outpoint Nate Diaz for five rounds. Honestly, Andrew, my biggest concern in this fight, I think Conor McGregor, I don't see him going to the ground with Nate Diaz. I don't see that happening again. I think Conor McGregor is going to be able to do what he did in the first round in Nate Diaz in the first fight throughout the first three rounds. It's the fourth and fifth round I'm concerned about. Is Conor McGregor going to have the cardio at 170? Those are the rounds where Nate Diaz can kind of emulate what he did in the first fight. So we'll see if Conor McGregor can have that cardio. Don't forget, Conor McGregor has had very few fights that have gone past the first round.
Definitely, Ryan. And just to add on to that, I agree 1,000%. I feel like strategically you're spot on, Ryan. I felt like the first fight, strategically, Conor planned for a first round, second round KO and not a five-round decision. And I feel like that's because, especially when you're fighting a bigger guy, and that guy happens to be Nate Diaz. I mean, the Diaz brothers have some of the best chins in the sport. I mean, Nate doesn't get knocked out like that. So very, very hard guy to finish. Plus, you know, you're giving up like 20 pounds and, you know, your two-inch reach. So I felt like the first fight, he was just looking for that KO, that first round, second round KO, was hitting him with some big shots, kind of gassed himself out, and then he started to get tagged. He was getting tired, you know, he was getting popped. Nate hit his groove, and then Conor went for the takedown, and, you know, it was a wrap after that. So I really feel like, you know, just as a game plan, and I think it really is going to help Conor too, the fact that they fought, you know, previously, so he kind of knows what he's coming into. You know, he knows more what he's going into, and he can have the correct game plan because, I mean, let's face it, the game plan that they brought in last time with his coach was completely wrong. And you could see it with Conor, his striking and stuff. I mean, I do believe Conor might – he probably has the better stand-up. I mean, if he didn't you know, he was coasting at a point in that fight, destroying Nate. But then, you know, Nate did find his groove, started hitting him with the head movements, the fade. Connor started missing some shots. So I'm with you, Ryan. Really has got to work on his cardio and, you know, his game plan. He has to have a different game plan. I mean, Nate Diaz isn't a guy. Of course, you know, if one of those crazy kicks, spinning kicks lands, that might put Nate's lights out, but it's going to be hard to hit him with that.
That was the problem. Real quick, Conor McGregor beat Chad Mendez because he was hitting those body kicks. And that's what really you have to do against Nate Diaz. We saw Benson Henderson do it. Everyone who's beaten Nate Diaz, you hit
RDA
him with,
attacked the lead leg too.
Yeah, attack the lead leg, kind of like Carlos Condit did against Nick Diaz. Even if you have to back up and circle and you're not the most aggressive guy like Conor McGregor is, this is just a must win. But you might have to make your game plan a little bit more boring, but attack that lead leg because the Diaz brothers never changed that style, and use those body kicks you're known for. He guaranteed that spinning that spinning back kick knockout, and he tried it about 10 times, and Nate is not going to get hit unless it's late in the fight and, you know, Nate's a little bit worn down by body kicks and front kicks. But Conor tried that about 10 times.
Yeah.
And I really think that was one of the reasons he gassed out, because that is such a kick that takes so much energy out of it. Just try it one time or try it three times in a row if you're able to, and just see how much that takes out of your body. He needs to concentrate on body kicks and front leg kicks and working his jab instead of throwing big left hands over and over and over. He just needs to be more strategic and watch the fights that Nate lost in general. And I also think, real quick, Andrew, Conor McGregor is very motivated. I think Nate Diaz is a little overconfident coming into this fight. We see him, he's getting a little fat, I gotta say it. Nate is getting that rich boy kind of chubbiness to him. And on every interview, he kind of just talks about Conor McGregor like Conor McGregor is a shitty fighter. I think Nate Diaz is going to come into this fight, and we've seen it before, that Nate Diaz that kind of just doesn't give a fuck. I think he made his money. But maybe the press conferences with Conor, I can't wait to see them go back and forth. Maybe that will motivate Nate Diaz. He's always in shape, don't get me wrong. But I think he might be overconfident coming into this fight. And that could be a huge problem. Andrew, real quick, if Conor McGregor does knock out Nate Diaz and he's not going to go back down to 145 pounds, do you do a third fight? Is it worth it? You know, if you make huge money, do the fans want to see that? Or do you move on? Do you risk Conor versus RDA? Or what do you do?
If Conor beats him in the rematch, especially via knockout, and he's not going back down to 145, I believe you need to move on and get Conor in the title fight. I mean, it's Conor McGregor. It's too big. That's what he wants. You know, he's lost, but it's kind of interesting because I was just thinking about this, you know, what a second loss, especially to Nate Diaz, would do to Conor's career, other loss. But, you know, as I was thinking about it, he's going to be a draw no matter what. It would definitely hurt him. But, I mean, you know, if he beats Nate Diaz, you know, where do you have to go up? And, I mean, he's going to have to take that RDA fight. You know what I mean? If he doesn't want to go back down, because, I mean, Conor's going to want to fight for the belt. So, you know, you got to keep moving him up, you know, letting him go down. You know, it's Conor's going to do what Conor's going to want to do. And, you know, Ryan, I have to agree. I don't know if we're going to see him going back down to 145. I feel like that should be, the belt should be vacated, or, you know, he might vacate it soon. You know, if he loses, I definitely think he should go back down to 145. You know, he took his shot, tried to do it, couldn't get it done. And, you know, at the same point, Ryan, you know, Conor's a competitor at the end of the day. He's a very competitive person. And after he dismantled 145, kind of like when he saw Jordan leave to go play baseball, you know what I mean, and try something new. At a certain competitive level, I think 145 is almost too easy for him. You know what I mean? He beat most of the 145-pounders with ease. You know what I mean? He could pretty much do whatever he wanted. He was the bigger guy. So, you know, I think he does like the competitive challenge, brings out the competitor in him. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting. And plus, we all know how hard that weight cut is to make. And, you know, just think about it now. You know, some of the times when you see Conor cutting weight before, he looked sickly. He did not look healthy. He did not look great. And, you know, he looked fantastic the other one. So that's very taxing on the body. But Ryan, the answer to that, though, is it's Conor McGregor. You got to get him back in there for the title. He's not fighting for the title at 145. And I'd much rather have him fight RDA than Robbie Lawler.
Yeah, and the last thing I would say is I'm not sure if I want to see him go into that RDA fight right away just because, you know, the risk of loss there. Maybe you want to get him 2 wins in a row. I think maybe it would be time to go back to 155, find a guy that has some heat behind it, maybe a Cowboy Cerrone, maybe a Dustin Poirier rematch, and put it in Dublin in a stadium, and finally give Conor McGregor that stadium match, a winnable fight, and then after that, you do the RDA fight with Conor McGregor back at the top of his game and having one fight at 155 to get ready for a guy like RDA. Andrew, real quick, let's talk. Michael Bisping, biggest win of his career. He kind of hurt it a lot by his post-fight antics, but he also built up something that could be a huge draw by the way him and Luke Rockhold talked to each other in the post-fight press conference. He called him a faggot, you know, not acceptable these days, but it's Michael Bisping's go-to word, it seems like. But Luke Rockhold was definitely a sore loser. They talked tons of shit.
Yeah, Rockhold was being a douche. Kept saying, you got lucky. Like, I'm sorry, but if you're Luke Rockhold, you just got knocked out in the first round for a guy that you were saying you were going to embarrass. I'm sorry, you need to eat some crow because you just got embarrassed by a guy who had no business being in the ring with you. I just had to throw that in there.
I completely agree, and I think what's next for Michael Bisping is I think you have to milk this win, you know, so maybe not that Luke Rockhold title fight right away because Luke Rockhold is so dangerous for Michael Bisping. I know he just knocked him out.
Dan Henderson.
Dan Henderson is a great pick. I love that. And that's a fight, him or Anderson, I would put in the United Kingdom because I think Michael Bisping deserves to defend that title in front of his fans. But also, let's see if his fans will travel and maybe put him on UFC 205, the supercard in New York. Chris Weidman is from New York. You do Chris Weidman versus Michael Bisping for the title, or you maybe have that Luke Rockhold rematch. But I definitely think Michael Bisping should be fighting on that UFC 205 card in Madison Square Garden. Let's see if the English fans come out and support Michael Bisping. And I think it should either be Chris Weidman or Luke Rockhold. I'm just not interested in seeing Jacare right now. He just doesn't bring it for me as far as a draw. I think Jacare, you save him a little bit, maybe give him that Yoel rematch to see where he's at. And then